You're listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. For more information and to support the show, head to wespeakcommon.com.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Tavern Talk. This show is made possible by our wonderful patron supporters and our incredible partners at the Dice Dungeon, where you can get yourself 10% off your entire order with the code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout, as well as our partners at Describe, spelled DSCRYB.com. That's their website if you want to go and have a look online, where you can get crafted box text written by professional writers, and you can get 10% off your subscription when you use the code COMMON at checkout. This week, it's me, Ben. Hello, I'm here. I've made it back to the bar. I'm not completely barred, and I'm joining Dave and Chris to sit down and talk about your D&D horror stories and whether or not we're all the arsehole. I'll settle in by the fire, because this is Tavern Talk. This is weird. I don't normally host the show. Why have I been put in charge?
You're in charge now.
Why has that happened?
It's just the way it is.
Fine. Okay.
Changes well, the latest new direction.
It's the rules.
You make the rules up here, do you?
I do make the rules, yeah.
I'm now in charge.
That's correct, yeah. I'm just going, you take the bar now.
Correct.
My shift's ended.
you're the GT manager now.
Yeah. Great. Sorry, we've got to bigger and better things. You take over.
Great, wonderful. You're going over to that other podcast.
That's what's happening, yeah. Mm-hmm. I nearly said something that would gravely upset you.
I think I know what you're about, because I think in my brain I made the same joke.
Oh, no.
We'll leave that right there. The bar's looking nice. The bar looks nice. Thanks, guys. How's it going? How are things?
Mm-hmm. Well? Great. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Dave needs a stiff drink. Chris, how are you?
I'm wonderful. It's been one hell of a week, and I'm just happy to sit down, chill with you two, and talk about some horror stories.
Mm. I think one hell of a week sums up my week as well, to be honest. But just fucking busy.
Yeah.
Just shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
And amongst that, D&D, which you know, is usually a good thing, but we're getting to our winter break, and I'm not excited for that. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I do want to check in real quick. You guys just ran a Call of Cthulhu game, speaking of horror based, correct?
You say you guys ran it. Dave ran it.
I ran it.
Dave did an incredible job running it.
Thanks.
I was just there playing in it.
You were just there.
I was just there dying a lot.
I have a question. How many times do you think I said, I'm going to skin you alive?
Oh, at least 10 times.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Dave ran it as part of our Halloween one-shot we do every year.
Yeah.
And when I say, so I usually run these Halloween one shots. Last year, Wesley did one. Dave's taking it on this turn. So I passed the mantle on, and it's been nice, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing them, I would like full on go out for the one shot. So I had costumes, I had music, lighting, like all that stuff. Because it was a Halloween thing we did in person.
Yeah.
The last one I ran, I made, because it was Strahd Must Die Tonight in Space.
Yeah.
I made the wine bottles and put candles in them and put them as lighting on the table, had skulls and shit. It was great.
Cute.
So when I say that Dave turned up and went, hang on, I need to go and get my costume on, I squealed like a little girl. I was so excited. He had creepy lighting. He had themed incense burners and DM screens. Not DM screens, keepers of lore screens, whatever they're called.
Yeah. Keeper of arcane lore screens.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful, that. But it was so good, and it was creepy and just like the amount of times I had to roll sanity checks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still surprised I didn't completely lose my mind.
Yeah. Two people did though.
Yeah. Yeah. Two of them went insane.
Yeah.
They're not on zero, but they went insane. No.
Yeah.
I used half of my luck for my entire life just to get my flask back.
What did you use? Like
25 points of
luck. In one go, in one whole move,
because someone had stolen my flask and I wanted it back. My boss.
Everyone Do we want to explain what luck means and using luck, just so if no one has like a brief overview of Call of Cthulhu?
So luck is almost like a currency that you can spend to pass a roll, but then it is permanently reduced to that amount.
So when you make your character, you have a set amount of luck. So I started with, and it was 60 luck.
60, yeah.
And by the end of the game, I had 24.
Yeah.
Which I don't...
That's a lot of luck usage.
I don't think that's normal for a single six-hour session.
No, especially a starter session.
Yep. My guy is... to put it lightly, he's fucked. So that's good. But we all survived.
Mm-hmm. The town didn't, but you did.
No, the town got absolutely sacrificed and murdered and killed by the Green Man.
Yeah.
But... we got out, we survived, and honestly I think that's more important.
And only two people ended up in asylum, so that's the main thing, you know.
the funniest bit is I had 8 hit points.
You nearly died a few times.
Grace, who plays my boss in this game, because we were a camera crew, she's director, I was a cameraman, she punched me at one point because I made a comment about some things that I shouldn't have said. Not me, the character. Mm-hmm. And I lost 3 of those hit points.
You got absolutely knocked out.
it was horrifying, but it was horrifying in a fun way. Like, I was like, oh, we're gonna be scared.
Yeah.
And like, there were bits when I was like creeped out and was like, no. But I was having fun the whole time. I would love to play it again.
Yeah, it was a blast. I loved running it, to be fair. Really loved it.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Have you ever played it, Chris?
I played Dave did a test run of what you guys played.
The test game.
I was in the test game. So we only got like 3 hours in or something before we had to call it a night.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, we went all the way. We made it to the end. And
you visited like a lot of locations as well.
Yeah, we went to an old creepy church, we went to a forest, we went to the hospital, we went to the tea rooms.
Yeah.
I think that
one doesn't sound like it fits that vibe, but it did, trust me.
Yeah.
So I think we stopped right outside the church. That's when we called it a night.
You went to the tea room to start, and then you went to the house, and then the church, and then you got absolutely rinsed in the church.
Dave, what's the adventure called if anyone wants to go and play?
Scratch. It's also free. You can download it.
Oh, there you go.
From Chaosium, yeah.
Yeah, so recommend. Go do that if you're looking for a Halloween game.
And you know
how to play Call of Cthulhu, then do that.
Mm-hmm. Is there a quick start Call of Cthulhu guide?
There is, yeah. There is definitely one. I know there's a box out of it. I'm sure you can download the rules somewhere as well, free.
Yeah, there tends to be, I think they did something for 3RPG Day as well.
Yeah, that's Scratch was 2018's 3RPG, so that's what they did for that, yeah.
That makes sense.
So there'll probably be more. But that's so I got that free. We spoke about this briefly. I think that I got that free when we went to Dragon Meet for waiting in line so long, which was cute.
Yeah, the line's so long.
You can buy the book. It's only like 8 quid or something. So it's not even that bad. Or you can get the free one. It's not bad. It's very good.
If I was going to do a horror game this year, I would go Witcher.
Yeah.
Obvious. I mean, is anyone surprised? No.
Yeah. Not. I think I'd like to give running Witcher a go, and just because I don't even know the lore that much, I'd just do it like somewhere really creepy and just do a really creepy monster.
Yeah, I mean, you could run. I mean, the system is built to be run with the lore because of
it's built the way it is. Yeah.
The Witcher. And it's amazing when you do that. But if you were like, oh, I just want to run like a creepy, scary, like monster hunt, and not any of the politics or like the war stuff, you could go into, pick one of the monsters, go and read all the lore about the monsters, and then run something like that with the system.
Absolutely.
You absolutely do that. And that would be horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go. Chris, are you doing any Halloween games or anything?
I am not doing any Halloween games, unfortunately. I've been so busy between looking for a new job and all that I haven't had time to sit down and plan. In the beginning of this month, I had like an idea for what I was going to do for a one shot.
Yeah.
And then that all went to the wayside about midway through the month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but a bunch of my play, I'll probably end up running it in the next like month or two after I get everything like settled
on again. Yeah.
Because I have a handful of my old players that like I gave the Brisk like concept idea to.
That's what you sent to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
So it's just going from there and going.
Yeah. I mean, you can run horror in winter. Winter's the perfect time to be running horror stories.
Christmas is a great time of year for
I wanted to do a Krampus kind of horror adventure a few years back.
Yeah.
So if I get my shit together, we'll talk about that here.
Yeah, when I definitely. Run it. Side note, Ben, you know Scare Kingdom that we keep meaning to go to?
Yes.
They do a Christmas time one, which is based around Krampus. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So are we going to that then?
We should probably go to that.
Let's make that happen because I want to be terrified. Okay, good. Okay, we're going to go through some D&D horror stories because it's Halloween. It's October. Yes. And these bring me so much
joy. Some of them
joy.
Are great.
I haven't heard any of these.
Me and Ben were literally running through them just before.
I've read some of them. Dave's read some of them. Yeah. We've not read all of them. So we've got a few. We won't get through all of them because some of them are longer, some of them are shorter.
Some of them are really long.
So we're going to start with one that's David's found. I'm going to read it. I've not read this
You've not
yet.
Read this yet.
now, boys, I'm usually on this show, I'm like, look, we're friendly, we're nice, we're kind, we're chill, we love it. Be brutal. I don't give a fuck.
This is a savage. Are we going to read the poster's name on Reddit, the Reddit poster's name? So we shout out to
this is an old post. It's hilariously posted by user podcast+1_James.
That's hilarious.
So you might have heard the story before.
Shout out to you.
I'm not gonna give you the title. I'm just gonna read the post.
Yeah, definitely.
Now let me clear my throat because it does hurt.
Do it. Prepare yourself.
This has the not safe for work tag. Here we go. Well, guys. This is one real horror story I have, and unfortunately, it's one completely suited to Valentine's Day. Oh, how thematic.
Honest.
Although, in an utterly twisted manner.
Mm-hmm.
The whole situation was bizarre, unexpected, and came completely out of nowhere in a rapid and completely fiery implosion of the group that rivaled the Hindenburg in terms of suddenness and a sheer scale of catastrophic collapse. So sit back, dear reader, and indulge this tale of deceit, coercion, questionable sexual appetites, breakups, and of course, cringe. Lots and lots of cringe. Right, have you all got a drink? Are you all ready for this?
Yeah.
Here we go. The cast consists of, brackets, names changed, me, DM, Dave.
Of course.
My roommate. It's not me. Playing a half-orc fighter, was not present for the session in question, relevant later. Annie, Dave's girlfriend, playing a halfling cleric. Rich, a friend of mine and Dave's, playing a zany gnome sorcerer. Trish, the problem player, playing a, air quotes, fox folk, which is a reskin tabaxi, bard, because of course she bloody was.
That's
all it
says.
It literally says that. She could also never quite decide whether this person was more cat or more fox or both. It was weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So we cast our minds back to the days of yore, 2013.
The future.
It's late. I have been drinking. I was at university. Great. And we were playing 3.5 edition of D&D. For context, I'm not really the typical Nurg archetype. That's cringy. I'm fairly tall, fairly muscular, and my biggest interest outside of TTRPGs, science, maths, nerdy movies, and video games is playing rugby. And I was on the uni team.
Of course you were.
All right, podcast for one underscore James, whatever the fuck your name is. I am, brackets, or was, being an adult sucks, close brackets, fair. Something of a socialite. Oh god, he's social as well, guys. Is he the problem player? Is that
I think he may be the problem player.
I like to host parties. I love being the center of attention.
Why is this happening? Why is this relevant?
I love singing. Great. In short, my highest IRL stat is charisma. My lowest, apparently, is wisdom. Yes. I'm a dude, bro. Yes. The exact stereotype you're currently thinking of. That one. It's me.
Okay.
Okay. Thoughts?
I'm the problem, it's me.
Yeah, thoughts on the door, anyone? I don't know where this is going. I don't like him.
I don't know why that's relevant. That entire like two paragraph there, it's not relevant to the story.
It hasn't even started.
Okay. He says, after one such get together at my place, brackets, which was inevitably always a strange mix of guys from the rugby team, my course mates, I studied physics, and my flatmates, their mates, etc. So I think he's trying to say it's a mix of different, like, social circles.
People, yeah.
Yeah. Myself, Dave, and Annie were talking. I suggested the idea of running a D&D game, and they were both into it. Neither of them had played before, but Dave informed me that our mutual friend Rich played, which I didn't know. And Annie said that she had a friend that would be super, which is, italicized, excited okay. to join because she was, italicized, obsessed with TTRPGs.
Mm-hmm.
Enter Trish.
Trish.
Trish was the only person who attended that I didn't know, which naturally made her something of a wild card. But being the social person I was, this didn't bother me at all. Hair flick. And when I first met her, all seemed fine. She was lively and excitable. Her and Annie both did practical effects design. That's quite cool. And
practical
she was
that is cool.
That is cool. She's cooler than the dude, bro.
Yeah.
This feels like it might be from a skewed perspective. Yeah. I mean, we'll find out. We might I might regret saying that.
Yeah.
She was artsy, enthusiastic, with a real twinkle in her eye, which I would realize all too late wasn't a twinkle.
Oh, no.
But the barely perceptible electrical feedback, which indicated the short circuiting of the sanity wires in her brain.
Wow.
Jesus. I thought she would be a joy to have at the table rolling dice with us. If I had only known the depth of the anime love interest complex she apparently had.
Interesting.
I might have realized that the rattling noise wasn't her dice tower, but the loose marbles rattling around in her skull.
Jesus Christ.
This is so funny. This guy should write more. So anyway, from the very first session, the group was great and everyone's characters were fun, if a little tropey. This is why I didn't bat an eyelid at Trish playing up the bard and hitting on every NPC.
No.
We all had a good laugh about it, and I responded with NPCs flirting or not flirting in the exact same manner as they would with Dave's character, who often tried his luck. Of course you did, Dave.
Classic.
To all our amusement, with his minus one charisma checks. Thus, I thought that it was all in good fun. That is funny. It was all in good fun, and so did everyone else, because nobody could be insane enough to think that imaginary characters interacting automatically meant the DM wants to bone them.
Oh, dot, dot, dot.
Right? Okay, great. So Trish thinks the DM fancies her.
Yeah.
Or the DM thinks that Trish thinks the DM fancies her.
Or, twist, it's all about Dave fancying the DM.
Maybe.
Not me. Tiffany, not me.
My own Tiff's in the background listening to your one side of the podcast. I can't wait for you to turn around and be like, yeah, Dave's an absolute sociopath. But he is when he refers to himself in the third person.
Interesting.
Anyway, getting ahead of myself a little there. There were some red flags, minor ones by the standards of this subreddit, to be sure, which is r/RPG horror stories.
Mm-hmm.
These included highlights such as Triss being a little obsessive about anime and talking about her perfect man being an exact description of some protagonist from a particular anime.
That's
the name
a red
of
flag.
Which I don't remember. Yeah, massive.
It's a big, big red flag.
And the way in which she described her tabaxi, complete with big, innocent doe eyes and playful curves and swaying hips. Furry.
Yikes.
She also showed up wearing foxes at one point. Fucking hell. I thought she was just really getting into the game and playing into her character, which in a really disturbing sort of way was right on the money. She also had a weird habit of maintaining eye contact with me for italicized uncomfortably long periods of time.
Yeah.
But I, with my IRL dump stat in wisdom, didn't put it together that she might have a crush on me in case there was in case where this story is leading wasn't horrifyingly obvious. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Weird grammar. I was enjoying the group and the immersion because of the foxes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone spent a lot of time talking character and really getting into it, including Dave and Annie, who had been a little hesitant about roleplay at first. Great. Trish spent almost no time whatsoever talking out of character. Another mild red flag that I overlooked entirely, but one that stands out from the rest in this little retrospective. Yeah, but I mean, we have players that talk in RP.
We normally come out every now and then. We come up for air.
I wish I could take a picture of Chris's face right now. Okay. I was enjoying... Oh, I read that bit. Sorry, hang on. Skip forward. And so, dear reader, begins the fateful night. Note that Dave, my roommate, was not present for this session. For the night is dark and full of fox-eared discomfort. It was an RP-heavy session. Sounds like they all are. The previous had been a sizable combat session with one of the villains, and a small side story arc had been completed. So there was a lot of looting, paying off debts and favours, collecting accolades, drinking in bars, being paraded around on the shoulders of the liberated village, all the normal tropes.
I love the idea of the players having debts, though. That's super fun.
Oh, yeah, man. Got to be a debt in there. All the normal tropes. This also coincided with the end of our second year exam period, so we were in an IRL similar mood. Everyone was having a great time in a low-pressure session, drinking a decent amount both in real life and in-game. Everyone was smiling and having fun.
Yep.
Trish's character decided that tonight was the night.
Oh, no.
To try and get it on with the burly human bartender NPC she had been flirting with throughout the campaign whenever they had been in his town.
Oh, no.
Again, I only picked this up in retrospect, but this was the NPC who most closely, although
resembled him,
not
yeah.
even that fucking closely, resembled me in how I have described them. And she had singled this NPC out repeatedly. Anyway, he says anyway a lot. In the revelry of the villain's defeat and the town's celebration, she succeeded on her seduction role for this poor bartender. I made a joke about them going off to have very scratchy cat sex, for which he will probably need his back bandaged, and attempted to fade to black. Trish was having none of it.
Oh, no.
Obviously, she wanted to vicariously play out this encounter between these two abstractors in a display that would have made Sigmund Freud himself make the concerned Torm face. She interjected, describing how her character waited for him to go and get her drinks before taking off all her clothes, changing into just one of his thin shirts and waiting on his bed in a, quote, seductive pose, and, quote, began to purr.
Oh no.
Look, a little too much detail, and she has a creepy, lascivious look in her eyes while she describes it. But fine, she's had a couple of drinks and is a bit too into it. I once again try with, and as he sees you, he shuts the door behind him with a smile. Anyway, back in the bar, Clupperdunk is in the midst of his absurd levitating tankards performance when Trish again interjects.
Oh no.
Pouting a little this time. She describes how her character stares into his green eyes. My eyes are green. The NPC was described with having blue eyes.
No!
And runs her clawed fingers through his brown hair. Again, you've guessed it, matches the description with me and not the NPC. She is now positively leering at me like I'm a cartoon steak. Rich catches onto this and looks as uncomfortable as I feel. Annie is giggling. I assumed this was just nervous laughter. Not so. I quite firmly cut to black this time, but Trish looks oddly satisfied and spends the rest of the session, which lasts less than half an hour, just staring at me and exchanging looks with Annie. At the end of the session, I'm sat with the three of them, finishing drinks before they all head home. Trish asks to use the bathroom and excuses herself. Annie then gets up and decides that she's going to go home and asks if poor, innocent bystander Rich will walk her across campus.
No, what are you doing?
They abruptly leave. This is how you get roofied, just to be clear.
This is not good.
I wait for Trish to come out of my room for 5 minutes.
Oh.
At this point, I'm like, if she's taking a dump in there, there's such an... That's such an absolute piss take. Just wait until you get home.
This is the most British thing I've ever read in my entire life.
So I walk into my room, preparing to knock on the bathroom door, and what do I fucking see? I see Trish, and dear reader, do you expect is she wearing?
No.
Yep, that's right. There's a pile of her clothes and underwear at the foot of my bed. Her sole items of clothing... is one of my t-shirts and her fucking foxes.
Yeah, I knew they were going to be there still.
Yeah, you can keep that hat on, Trish. lying in what she apparently thought was a seductive pose was supposed to look like. If the only time you had heard the word seduction was in Japanese and the sentence ended with senpai, and as if this scene wasn't absurd and insane enough, she also fucking purrs at me before giving me this look, which basically amounted to her stuffing as much of her bottom lip under her teeth as is reasonably possible in what appeared to be an attempt to devour her own chin. And blinking rapidly like she's trying to convey something in Morse code. This is a fucking amazing story. Now, Trish is not an unattractive woman by any means. Even in the midst of a mating ritual, considerably more bizarre than anything I've heard Sir David Attenborough narrate. But I am absolutely not into her whatsoever. I do not see her in that way, and honestly, I find her a bit weird. Brackets. Shocking, I know. This should be a good enough reason on its own, but what takes this from just uncomfortable and awkward to shockingly inappropriate is that at this time, I had a girlfriend, which she and everyone else at the table knew. The plot thickens.
Oh my God.
At this point, I'm standing in the doorway. This fucking just keeps going. Okay. At this point, I'm standing in the doorway, probably looking like I've seen a fucking ghost, and my brain has turned to mush trying to decipher the incomprehensible spectacle unfolding before my eyes. She then stops deep-throating her chin and says, "If you want your t-shirt back, you'll have to take it off me."
No.
I'm now legitimately pissed off with her for this level of inappropriate behavior. I tell her, as calmly as possible, that she can keep the t-shirt, but she needs to leave. She scowls at me, and I truly wish I was joking. Hisses at me like a cat. Despite how deeply uncomfortable and annoyed I am, it is an act of such sheer abject absurdity that I cannot help but burst out laughing. She immediately loses her shit, grabs her clothes in a bundle, and runs outside my flat in just my t-shirt, not stopping to even put on underwear, screaming at me the whole way. Now, hang on, side note here. If a girl did this to me and she put on one of my good t-shirts, I'd be fucking fuming.
You'd be raging, yeah?
I'd be like, no, go in the bathroom, put on your clothes and give me my t-shirt back. That cost me 20 quid.
Fully stole the t-shirt.
Anyway, apparently either Annie or Rich has forgotten something, so they're about 100 meters away walking back towards the flats. They and everyone else around see this two-thirds naked cat fox woman throwing a hyper tantrum over getting rejected, creating an utter spectacle in the quad, which is overlooked by several blocks of halls. Not to mention other students who just happen to be outside. I would have been mortified if I wasn't too busy being somewhere between utter speechless disbelief and repressing uncontrolled mirth. Annie runs over and throws her coat over the now hysterically crying Trish, starts berating me herself, calling me selfish and ungrateful, and telling me how Trish is better for me than my then girlfriend. I'm in utter shock and disbelief at this point. This is totally out of character for Annie. Not knowing what to do in the midst of this bizarre and mutually humiliating meltdown, I just give an apologetic wave and grimace to Rich, go inside and close the door. I call Dave and fill him in on whatever the fuck just happened. He's baffled, shocked, and angry, as I am, especially after I described Annie's reaction. He calls her and demands to know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
As it turns out, Trish and Annie had concocted the events of the evening together. Annie had informed Trish that Dave would not be present, making it a good night to make her move.
This is wild.
And Trish had apparently described the rest of her cringe-inducing misguided plan. This is also why Annie was giggling at Trish's in-character shenanigans earlier in the night, and why she had so abruptly convinced Rich to leave with her when Trish had asked to use my bathroom. This, it seems, was the signal. Monstrous. Dave called me almost 2 hours later, which was almost 4 a.m. by this point, and said that he had had a huge argument and shouting match with Annie over the phone and that they had broken up. I received a text from Rich the next day saying he didn't want to play with us anymore because he couldn't handle the drama. Although I explained to him that Trish would absolutely not be there again. I couldn't really I couldn't really begrudge his decision to leave with such a sour taste in his mouth.
Mm.
I blocked Trish's number almost immediately after she left, and the only correspondence I had with Annie was a text from her that just said, cunt. So I blocked her too. I love how British this is.
Yeah, it's super British.
Dave and I never played D&D together again, though we're still friends to this day.
Brilliant.
So that's it, Reddit. That's my one and only horror story, and most of it had absolutely nothing to do with the actual game. Sometimes the creepy predatory weirdo isn't a basement-dwelling neckbeard, but a pretty girl of half your size with much more screws loose than a piece of IKEA furniture your grandma tried to put together, who apparently thinks that acting like an anime catfox woman is the height of seduction.
Wow. What a wild ride that was.
The top comment is, OP promises cringe, also OP delivers it flawlessly. There is not an oof size big enough for this.
No.
What?
Judges.
That's incredible.
What was the title of this post?
The title of the post.
Yeah.
Player attempts to seduce DM, both in character and out of character, causes complete collapse of gaming group and even an in real life breakup.
Yeah.
That sums it up.
Yep. Wow.
I feel like we could make a whole movie out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to like leave physics and go and study like reporting or something, like, you know, like.
I think he just needs to go and start writing prose. That was so brilliantly written. Although he clearly was the hero of his own story, which is
absolutely
fair enough.
That's
fine. I can't blame him.
No.
That was a lot longer than I thought it was going to be, but that was so worth it.
It was worth it. Long.
I wish that we were recording like our faces throughout
all the way through.
Because you can see.
Let's have some smaller ones then. Now
let's have some shorter ones. You can see it on each one of our faces when it clicked what was happening,
like the eyes getting wider.
Yeah.
Here's a short one for you. This is probably the biggest red flag you'll ever receive from a D&D player. The title is: player sent this when something he didn't like happened in my game. Poster being the DM. The comment literally just says, I've watched hundreds of hours of Matt Mercer DMing and his players playing D&D. I probably know more about the game than you do. Chris just fell over.
Nope.
Yikes.
Oh, God.
I've heard this from a player.
Oh, yeah. You've had that?
I've had that.
Yeah. What did you say?
They weren't part of the game after that.
Bye-bye now.
I don't blame you.
It was like, oh, well, they did X, Y, and Z, and I'm just like, that's not how this game works.
Do you know what? I think I'm going to save some of these, and then whenever anyone complains about someone else in the group at my table, I'm just going to send them these horror stories and be like, it could be worse.
It could be worse.
I don't think I've ever had like a proper horror story, like in my own tables. I've had
Chris has.
I've had people fall out and like have to like mitigate that, but that's the worst of it. Chris, what's your horror story? Oh my God, how many have you got?
Well, I only have, like, it's just different vignettes from throughout the entire campaign.
Sum it up for me.
It was just, I don't know the best way to do it. Difference in expectation, I think, is the best way to kind of go about it. So my original D&D group was a much bigger group.
Uh-huh.
That campaign ended, and then I ran my own, and the prior campaign was not the most, like, focused on the game, I guess I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I was digital one day because I thought I had COVID, and I almost hung up on the call because there was an hour and a half tangent just about pizza toppings.
Oh, wow.
So not great when I'm like, I have other like work I need to do and I'm just here for this. And now we're talking about, you know, this versus Jesus this, what's better.
Yeah. Not relevant to the game.
Not relevant to the game. So after that campaign ended, I'm like, hey, I want to run like, you know, I want to play with high level. Like I want to run something like this, just a little bit more like focused in on game. So our group of like six or seven became a group of like four.
Yeah.
Because we were like the ones who just like, all right, cool. Like we want to play the game and hang out, not hang out.
Full stop.
Which
is
fine.
Yeah.
Like I'm fine hanging out with people, but like if we're there to play the game, we're there to play the game.
Yeah, that's fair.
So everyone was on the same page. We're like, oh, we want to do like, you know, more like game focused, serious style characters. Cause like, this is what the gist of the world is.
Yeah.
And going into that campaign, I did a, I did, oh, this is so bad. I did a one-on-one like prequel session with each one of the players to kind of like, you know, like, here's what happened to you. Here's where we're going. And like, here's how we're going to start the campaign. We're not doing a tavern, like, get you right in the action right off the bat. So I had one player who pretty much was like an underling of the Raven Queen. And we went on to like why he's dead, why, how he got there and why he's, you know, where he's at now. Another one going through the ranks of the magic school, what happened to him, how he got to where he is now. Perfect. Like, great one-on-one sessions. And then I got to my last player and who had given me like no, little to no backstory for what his character was going to be going into it. And so he joined into the call. And the first things he said to me is, I don't think I really need a one-on-one session. And I'm like, well, that's not the point. I'm like, well, then I'll just like run through, like, I'll go with what the information you gave me. Because I had this really cool, like, Majora's Mask kind of twist for his character. Because he didn't really give me anything. Because he was playing a walrus folk.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
So that, just open that little pocket of information first, Chris, and just delve into that whole thing.
Please tell me that wasn't that, something from D&D Wiki.
Oh, it was, man.
Oh, why did you let him do it?
So I'll touch on that, I guess. This is going to be a long episode.
It's a special episode.
So to backtrack a little bit, our like resident like major homebrewer was the one who was underneath the Raven Queen, and him and I worked to make like all the stuff he wanted homebrew work for his character. He's also the one who just would add everything that he thought was interesting to his account on D&D Beyond homebrew wise.
Correct. So, a kleptomaniac is what we call that.
Yes.
So you with your spells, Ben.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but at least they're like actually in the game. I didn't write them myself. Well, I wrote some of them, but still.
There you go. And because I'm not a huge fan of digital books, he can only do digital books. We all shared under his account with the shared content. So all the characters remain under him, things like that. So this character had access to all the homebrew options and whatnot. And when he sent me his original character sheet, I message our resident homebrew. I'm like, hey, like, what is like all the like, you know, where is it from, whatever? And I got, oh yeah, it's all homebrew as fuck. I'm like,
great,
good. Yep. Good. He's like, yeah, yep. I put it in there, like adjust it and fix it to make it more playable, and he just wants to run with it. I'm like, cool. So what my original thought process and plan for this character was he had a hunger curse.
Right.
And I put that in quotations on video because people can't see this because this is an audio medium. where, you know, he would just have to eat everything in front of him or whatnot, or he wasn't satiated. He was never satiated fully. Which is fine. Like, it's a cool like character concept. Like, you know, have to deal with that and find a way to like cure it. Except every time I like kind of threw the line out there to like, hey, you're
hungry.
You're hungry. Nothing would ever get done with it. He just moved on as normal.
Cool. Okay. I'll be hungry.
I'm just like, right, exactly. So I'm just like, oh, cool. That's not really how it goes. But that being said, I wanted to have the backstory that he couldn't remember because he didn't give me anything. So I'm just like, all right, well, we'll just like kind of amnesia some shit because you don't remember whatever X, Y, and Z. Was going to be, yeah, right. Him being like, oh, you're actually like, if you're of dwarvish descent, and I was going to give him more of like a, hey, you can now change your race because of some Majora's Mask situation. It's yeah. like a whole big explanation I can give, but
like, oh, surprise, you've actually been in Azamar this whole time.
Yeah. So yeah, it's, yeah. you know, and obviously it's something I always, with things like that, if you have players that are involved, I always advise, hey, talk to your player and like devise a story. He was giving me nothing to really go with. Mm-hmm. And he had ideas for his character that like, he also wasn't going with.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
yeah,
it was a hit or miss. Like this was also my first like major time DMing, so I wasn't sure how to navigate all these issues. Because I had like stats written up for like, oh, you know, if you switch like to this version, like a mask or whatever, like an action in combat, you can swap. Like, oh, you go switch to Owl, and so now you have a fly speed and things like that to make it like a lot more dynamic and like how to like adjust and battle on the fly. Obviously, we never got to that point in the campaign. But yeah, so he joins in on the one-on-one with, oh yeah, I don't really think I need to have a one-on-one. And is also trying to play Pokemon the entire time I'm talking to him. So I'm like, all right. So I asked him like some questions and like gave him like the brief like ideas I had of like, hey, look, here's your character. Like, here's what you've told me from your character. Like, here's something I can work into the world. And then he dumps a lot more information that was never shared with me that just completely threw everything else I had planned out the window.
Yeah.
And that's the start of that campaign.
I'm not surprised that didn't end. No. To be honest with you.
No, there was a lot of stuff in that campaign that definitely I could have executed better. The group could have executed better. I was also super overwhelmed in my own schedule. So it was just destined to fail pretty much from the beginning.
Yeah.
And if we do an episode talking about like, oh, here are some of our D&D regrets, I can definitely touch more on how that campaign
I mean, I don't have any D&D regrets.
Shut up, Ben.
My D&D is just perfect. But you should definitely do that as an episode.
It's on the list.
Yeah,
it's
a good one. List.
I have a good short one, if you want me to read
I have one. A good short one as well. Okay. I thought about it. I said I don't have any horror ones, but I do have a personal horror story. I played with a DM, and this is very short. Literally, I played the DM once. And I mean once.
One time.
Would never go back. Who made up the stat blocks as he went along?
Nope.
But in the sense that, like, Chris has taken his headphones off and walked away from the recording. And I don't mean he made it up in that, like, he didn't just like go, oh well, I guess we're doing a goblin and I'm going to change the stat block and give it this many hit points. I mean, he would go, cool, they're going to fight goblins. Have no stat block in front of him and go, cool, you've done X amount of damage. I guess that's enough to kill it. Oh, it's going to attack you with a short sword. I guess it'll be this damage dice. Like, literally just made it all up. Oh, it now has blindsight because I've decided. Like, oh nope. My God, no. No, no, no.
No.
No. Kill. I was going to say kill me. Kill them. Yes. Don't let them reproduce.
Wow.
Dave, do a short one. Let's go. Come on. This has got to be good.
I have a really short one or like a better one.
Do a better one.
Okay, so there's like a, okay, so this Hang one. On, I'm going to read the title because it sets it up almost a bit, okay?
I want to touch back on this making stat blocks on the fly.
Go on. Are you going to admit to doing it?
No, I'm not going to bet. I'm perfect. Like, here's my thing.
You're perfect.
I'm perfect. We already knew that. I'm perfectly fine with like, adjusting HP or something on the fight.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's perfectly fine because like you want to have some kind of like climactic ending to your fight because, you know, if your players have been gearing up for 3 sessions and, you know, one well-placed fireball takes everything out, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
But that being said, making up...
Literally, think about how much stuff is on a stat block. Like, just think about, like, imagine a stat block. Like, just a simple commoner stat block. Even their... base stats, like their charisma, their wisdom, like all those saves, just making up. Oh, they roll a 10. I'll give them a +5. Why? Don't know. Why not?
I don't know. That's
outrageous. Right, I'm going to start.
Go on, Dave.
This is a tough talk episode, guys.
yeah, I know. It's a long one. Let's go.
I'm not going to read the title because I've changed my mind. Okay, so I'm going to start. This story is somewhat bizarre because it really felt like it came out of nowhere. There were about 4 of us guys and all of our friends to some degree of us close to others, but we enjoyed each other's company, went out for drinks and played games together. Speaking of games, a couple of months ago, we all decided to have a D&D game at the DM's house since it was the largest childless house in the group. His wife ended up playing too. For like 99% of the campaign, everything was good. Our characters were fun, the world was immersive, and the villains were tough. This was until a month ago. We were having a Saturday get-together where we'd basically just unwind with some beer, D&D, and movies. The soon-to-be that guy was playing the wizard of the party and entered an ancient cave slash dungeon and reached a magic item at the end of the room.
It's always the fucking wizard.
It's always the wizard. There was a chasm that was separating it from us, from the item. Before we could get it, the cave dungeon started collapsing due to an evil spell that one of us had accidentally triggered. All of us decided that it wasn't worth risking our TPK over. A suspicious magic item might detect good and evil. Spell heavily implied this magic item was evil. All of us except the soon-to-be that guy who decided to waste his last spell slot teleporting across the chasm to get the magic item with 4 HP because he convinced the DM. He was convinced the DM was tricking us. Well, it turns out I was right. It was a mimic. a talking mimic that was working for the BBEG. The mimic got a surprise round and missed, so the wizard decided to flee. Unfortunately for him, the mimic failed the opportunity attack. Oh, so fortunately for him, the mimic failed the opportunity attack as well. So the rubble was falling, the wizard attempted to jump and grab a stalactite. So the DM had him roll athletics. He rolled a nat 1.
No!
Stalactite falls into the abyss along with the wizard, which obviously kills him.
I mean...
Thoughts so far?
Fuck about find out. You know what I mean?
Like, very much so. Are you ready for the next bit?
Oh, God, go on. How much worse can this get?
The wizard then says, no death saves? In a confrontational tone. So the DM says, you rolled a nat 1 and fell into the abyss that leads to the Underdark at 4 HP. You can't death save your way out of that. The wizard then claims the DM just made up the whole Underdark chasm in order to kill him and accuses the DM of having a DM versus the party mentality. He then drunkenly tried to calculate the max height of the chasm like it could be, and that he couldn't have taken enough damage to negate the death saves.
What if he had a feather fall?
Exactly, but he'd used his last spell slot, Chris.
Yeah. Come on, Chris. Come on, Chris.
Keep up with the story. His maths was painfully bad, and the premise of his flawed, as again, he fell into the fucking Underdark, not a regular cave floor. And then he tried to argue that if he has to die, and that he should be able to come back as a more powerful white wizard like Gandalf, because class is based off Lord of the Rings wizards. Incorrect. And his argument was failing and getting angrier and more argumentative. The DM basically just laid down the law and said, look, your character is dead. End of discussion. So roll up a new one.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Why does he have, first of all, why does he only have, there's some fireworks going off outside. I must really like these bad stories. Why does he have 4 HP?
Well, he were in a dungeon.
Oh, right. So he had 4 left.
Come on, Ben, keep up.
Sorry. Sorry, Chris. That was karma there, wasn't it? Wow. And I suppose, yeah, okay, you're falling into the Underdark, but also max full damage, but it probably would have been more than he had hit points wise. Yeah. So
he was. And also, you fall into the Underdark and something's definitely going to eat you in like 10 minutes.
I mean, we've all played Baldur's Gate 3. We know how
to do that. Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
Wow.
I'm going to continue.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, God.
There's still more. He then sat down and said, fine, as he sat there pouting, slowly coming up with a new character, as the rest of us dodged the collapsing rubble and rocks, barely escaping the caves with our lives. Yep. Former wizard didn't get a chance to finish the character before the session ended. As we talked a bit after the session about how wild it was and anticipated next week, he just kept sitting there silently pouting before he got up to go to the bathroom. Kept talking and drinking. As the subject veered off to anime and other nerdy topics, we chilled for about 20 minutes before we saw him coming out of the bathroom. He opened the door to leave the house.
Wait, DM,
he went to the bathroom 20 minutes. He went for 20 minutes to the bathroom. Yep.
Oh, no.
He opens the door to leave the house. The DM asks if he's okay. And he just abruptly says, I'm fine. My Uber here is here. Bye. And slam the door. We just figured he needs some time to cool off. DM said he would talk to him tomorrow. We continued just having fun for the next 10 minutes before we started getting ready for the movies. As the DM and his wife were preparing popcorn, we, the players, started noticing a really bad smell coming out of the bathroom. We ignored it. So it got to the point where the DM's wife noticed it and complained. So the DM checked it out and started yelling and cursing.
Has he put shit on the walls?
We all get up and check it out. And honestly, the most disgusting thing I've ever experienced in my life.
Oh, no.
Poop was smeared all over the floor, walls, and mirror. There was a poo in the sink, and it looked like he wrote the words, fuck you, in poop. And then he clearly smeared on the wall. Although, to be fair, the writing was not very clear. We were all shocked, and the DM and his wife were pissed off. The end call, the form wizard basically cuss him out and said that he's no longer welcome at his table or in his house. He had tears in his eyes while making the call, as the rest of us basically began grabbing cleaning supplies to help him clean up the bathroom. It was so gross, but we got it cleaned out in about half an hour. We all took showers after, and by that point, we ended up watching the movies in order not to let this be the memory of what was otherwise a great night. Plus, we were all still a bit buzzed and didn't want to drive. The next day, the form wizard called me to ask to talk to the DM and to get him let him play again, but I refused.
What?
And told him that he really hurt the DM's feelings. So he tried to make me out to be a shitty friend and whatnot. So I shut his manipulative bullshit down and said, fine, then I guess we have no reason to talk to each other if that's how you feel, and hung up. None of us heard from him again.
That's fucking wild. Who smears shit on someone else's walls and then expects to be let back in their house?
And game.
That's insane. That man needs to help.
Yeah, the title of this is Drunk Player Covers the Bathroom Poop After Dying in Game.
Do you know what's the most impressive thing, though? Like, Dave, if you killed off my character and I thought, do you know what, I'm going to go and shit all over his bathroom walls, I don't think I could poo that much on command.
That's a lot of
I mean, okay, fine. If I've been drinking, I'm going to have the Alco Pops, but like, that doesn't happen until the next day.
No.
That's impressive.
That's wild. He's probably gluten intolerant. I mean, like.
Or he's got a really high fiber diet.
Or both.
Oh, both. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
Do you know what?
Mm.
That's not the first story I've heard about someone smearing poop on other people's walls.
Really?
Not D&D related.
Okay.
But it still blows my mind. Who the fuck?
Ooh, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Who thinks to do that? Who?
Yeah. Either very angry or very messed up people.
Or both. Or just both. Just both? I think it's both.
Ben, do you want to say it? Because we've been going on for a very long time. I've only got three stories. But
yeah, I think
I think you're going to need to wrap up with a short story after we've done this one.
Cool. Okay.
Ring
the fucking bell.
There we go. Right. Find a nice one to wrap up with.
I don't think I have a nice one to wrap up on. I'm so shell shocked from the poo on the bathroom walls. Okay. No,
we've had a rough two versus on top of that.
When we started, I thought this isn't very horror related. Now it feels like a horror.
Now yeah, it's
building
a spiral.
Okay, here's a good one.
Okay.
This one.
Does this sum it up? Like, sum up the events? Well,
what do you mean?
Does this like sum up the episode? Is it a good one to finish on, Ben? Is what I'm trying to say.
I found an Am I the Arsehole one.
Okay, that will do. We'll do that.
We could all just bitch about someone we don't know because people love that on the internet.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Am I the arsehole for rolling well in my D&D group? Now, bets on the door. I mean, I've read it, so I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
What are you saying?
So, does it specify if they're the DM or the player?
I'll let you know that they're a player.
Okay.
Are they an arsehole for rolling well? Yes or no?
No. I mean, it depends. If they're like cheating, then...
Chris, yes or no? What are you saying?
I'll go with Dave's answer. If they're cheating and they're rolling, but if they just have good luck...
Okay,
then...
these are not yes or no. I need a yes or no.
I'm
going to
say
make a bet.
No. I'm going to say
not
no.
The arsehole.
You're both saying not the arsehole. Okay, let's find out. It's a known thing in my Dungeons & Dragons group that I roll really, really well. I have a level 10 Tabaxi Rogue that I've been playing for 2 years now and built her to be super optimized for what I like to do. That being
said... I changed my answer.
Yeah, you can. You put it on the fucking... Why are they all Tabaxis? What the fuck is going on?
Tabaxis Rogues are just fucking nuts. That's why. Like, they are...
They are a power gamer like Dave's dream.
Oh, right. Okay. That being said, I have proficiency / expertise in many of the skills that I use frequently to give me a +6 or more most of the time. +6 is not a lot. I got a message from my DM saying that other players were concerned I was fudging roles, and he said it was he said it very tactfully, no hate to him. I explained that I get how it looks from being able to see my stats sheet and how well I roll. From not being able to see my stats sheet and how well I roll. To put it to the test, I've been rolling all of my dice, brackets, and today all the dice my significant other and I have are 150, close brackets, to see what my percentages are. I'm going to say right now, if you feel like you need to roll 150 dice to see where to prove that you're not cheating, you're probably cheating. 60 to 80% of my rolls end up being half or better. When paired with my stats, that equals a lot of big numbers.
Yeah, that's wild.
While I understand what it looks like, I'm very annoyed that this player didn't come directly to me and wanted to go through our DM. Oh, yeah, well, fuck off. They're just, that's the DM's role. It's mitigating. It's just, that's just the way it is sometimes. You know, we all went to college together and are great friends. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Let the other player off.
It's not the player's fault you roll well.
Yeah, it's your own fault you roll well. We all went to college together and are great friends. So it feels like a little stab in the back that they felt like they couldn't come to me with it. I get that. I get that. But also, it's a fucking awkward conversation. So just let them do it the way they want to do it. As a little angry response, I want to share a photo. Oh my God, this is toxic. I want to share a photo of the 150 dice that I rolled to prove I don't cheat. Would that make me an asshole?
How does that prove that you don't cheat?
Edit. I do not use weighted dice or any kind of rolling pattern. Someone else in the group bought me the set of dice I use most from a seller online. I'm seeing a lot of suggestions to let everyone see my roles. One, we only play online because we're divided by states. Two, we always show our faces or have a map or something as the main screen, and I'm not buying a second camera to be able to project my roles to everyone. My boyfriend is there when I play, and he can vouch for me.
Interesting.
I'm also seeing a lot of people suggest that I should do whatever they ask. They didn't give me any suggestions because my DM believes me and was acting on someone else's behalf. The photo was a bad idea, but I'm not sure what else to do. I also don't tend to use many of the other skills that I'm not proficient or have expertise in. Not because I'm not playing to be OP, but because I don't have a lot of them. Like 12 from my background, class, level, and downtime. And it makes sense that my character wouldn't use the other ones. She's dumb and grew up on the streets, so she's not going to be the one to make the Arcana checks. I mean, that's fair. Because we're level 10, my expertise skills are +9 or +10, which could make bad rolls mediocre, and other skills are +5 or +6, which could make mediocre rolls good. The dice rolling was something I started for fun just to see if probability reigns true, and it doesn't because it's all chance. The 150 dice I rolled are not all my own, and have been rolled multiple times for the same results, 10 to 20% max, 20 to 40% also almost max, and 60 to 80 half or better. My boyfriend suggested sending the photo after watching me roll every single one of them. My DM also uses the rule that most of the time you can't roll lower than your passive perception or wisdom on perception checks. Weird. Mine is a 19, thanks to the observant feat. So I cannot get lower than a 19 on that check. Fucking red flag and broken.
Thanks.
The funny thing is, the girl who I think posted the complaint has a copy of my sheet. It's from level 8, so not completely updated. And I don't think any of my stats have changed that other than the hit points and the damage dice because I got flaming short swords at from defeating people.
Oh, no.
Understand.
Defeating people.
Defeating someone. Just... And for everyone saying that that's not how statistics work, or I didn't have a big enough sample size, I rolled 1,252 dice in total. From it's gone up now. A very different grouping. Mine, 55 dice, unused dice, 150 total, and my significant other's 176 total. That's not 1,252, but okay. And got 62 to 78% every time. If I flip a coin or 100 coins, it never seems to equal 50 heads, 50 tails. Strange how statistics don't actually work in real life. That's not how statistics work! That's the end of the post. I just want to finish with the top comment, which is, you roll really well. Sorry, that's not how probability works. You're not magic. You're not gifted by the gods with the power of lucky rolls. Dice don't know who you are, and they don't give you boosted numbers because you're special. Anyone rolling a fair d20 will have an equal chance of rolling the numbers 1 through 20 every time.
Yeah.
There will be stretches where the results are unusually high or unusually low, but given a long enough time frame and enough rolls, it'll even out.
Correct.
Oh, do you want to hear their verdict?
Go.
That person's verdict. Do you want to give me what are your verdicts? Arsehole or not?
I think he's an arsehole now, but mainly just for that attitude.
After hearing like the justification and everything, it's asshole.
Yeah, asshole.
Yeah.
If I was DMing and one player was constantly rolling better than everyone else session after session, I would think they were cheating too. I'm just lucky is bullshit. Share your stats with the DM, roll in front of everyone else, and if the DM asks you to change dice or whatever, do it. Go out of your way to make sure everyone is comfortable and that you're not cheating. However, having a suspected character, a cheater in the group is toxic and anti-fun. You're the asshole for thinking the laws of probability don't apply to you.
sorry, I'm a god.
Sorry, I just roll really. But then we say this, Wesley always rolls really lowly. So, you know, maybe
I'm pretty average. Like, I have days where I'm really good and then days where I'm really bad.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I'm the same.
Also, Chris, have I told you about my build for my most recent character?
No, but I'm going to hate it.
So, it end goal, level 20, he's going to be a flying invisible werewolf.
Is Dave the arsehole? Leave your comments in the Discord server, which you can get access to via the description below. We've already told him what we think, both Chris and I.
I made a character as a flying invisible werewolf. Am I the arsehole?
Yes, you're the arsehole. Yes. Absolutely. And on that bombshell, I've spent far too long in this bar. Thanks for having me back, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a special occasion episode.
It is the spooktacular.
It is the spooktacular of Halloween 2023. And we did go through some horrible, horrifying, terrifying stories.
Really terrifying stories.
If you want to get involved with all of this shit, like, come and do it. Come and get involved.
Don't say get involved in shit.
The Discord server is the best place to do it. There's a link in the description below. It's free to join. The Patreon is the place to go if you want to support us and get more access on the server. And of course, we're online on different social media platforms and all that good stuff. All the links down below.
This show
will come out again in 2 weeks' time. There'll be another show next week. Oh my God, how much fun. Dave, I'm resigning as duty manager from the tavern. I'm giving it back to you and I'm letting you know that a man entered the bathroom 20 minutes ago and he has not come out, so have fun.
Dude, that is awkward. Yeah.
Is that what like a professional like standard outro should be?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, well, then that's not how we do things around here. So anyway, head over to the episode discussion. And tell us your D&D horror stories.
Get rid of all that stuff. Just don't. You know, just, why are you doing that? Why are you bringing that in here?
You forget that I edit your episodes every week. I know exactly how low quality the show is.
That's why we're only allowed to do half an hour.
I hear all your little jibs and jabs and jokes about me, don't you? I've got them all written down in my little black book. I'm waiting for a good time.
Don't say that, because I had a manager that generally, every time you did something bad, he'd write it down in a book. And then when he was really annoyed, he would go, right,
that is a horror
story. That's a horror story.
Jesus. Right. Yeah. Well, on that bombshell, good night.
Good night. Good night. Farewell.
Farewell. See you then. See you later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining us here on Tavern Talk. This show wouldn't be possible without our generous Patreon members, as well as our friends over at the Dice Dungeon, where you can pick up all your premium D&D and Dice Goblin essentials without paying a premium price. Plus, you can use code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout and save 10% off your order. And the creative minds behind Describe, spelled DSCRYB, who provide game-ready box text, as you see in your favorite pre-written modules, to help you tell your next epic story. Offering DM and player scenes to choose from, with more than 600 free scenes and over 10,000 scenes available with a subscription. You can try Describe tonight. And once you decide to subscribe to Describe, you can use code COMMON at checkout for 10% off every month for your first 2 years. Until next time, we'll keep the fire going for you.
Thanks for listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your platform of choice and share us with a friend or D&D group near you. If you'd like to directly support the network and the production of new shows like the one you heard today, head to the description of this episode or our social media pages for a link to our Patreon page. You can connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at We Speak Common.